What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome back, Real Life. How's everybody doing tonight? Awesome. We got one person doing good. Yeah. We got two people doing good. Oh yeah. Last night of summer. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm so sorry. My son Lucas is so excited to go into kindergarten tomorrow. He is so pumped. He went to his student orientation the other night and met his teacher, Miss O. I don't know what her full name is. I think it might be Miss O. I don't know what it is, but it's Miss O. I don't know. It's Miss O. I haven't met her yet. I love her. She's awesome. Miss O is good. Let's move forward. What is up for Real Life? Thank you guys for being with us tonight. If you're a guest, I promise you I'm not messed up. I love every race, tribe, tongue, and nation. And tonight we start our new series. This is awesome. How have y'all liked the content that Real Life's been posting the past couple days? It has been awesome. If you're new tonight, please go ahead and follow us at Real Life Columbus on all forms of social media, so you can stay informed of what is happening. Thank you for being here tonight. My name is Jonathan, if you don't know me. I'm the student ministry pastor here, and I can't wait to get to know you. And we are about to have an incredible semester, amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Tomorrow starts a new chapter in our lives, and I'm excited for what the Lord is gonna do in this new season. Tonight starts our annual identity series. Every fall and every spring semester, we kick off things by communicating our core values as a student ministry. When you walked in this door, you saw it on the wall, on our banner. It's reach, engage, advance, and lead. And I know some of you, when I say identity series, in this very moment, you're confused. I get it. I get that sometimes when you say, what is an identity series? It might be confusing. I'm confused. What do you mean? Right, Dad? Right? Oh, come on. Come on now. It's our identity series, and Real Life exists because we have been reached by the love of Christ, so we can engage in Christian community, so we advance in our faith, so we can lead others to Christ. That is our mantra. That is who we are. And tonight we're looking at reach. Somebody say reach. Jesus loved the world so much that he came and he died for it. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says that there is absolutely nothing that can separate you and me from his love. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says this. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is some good news tonight. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. His love is power, and the love of God is always reaching. It is constantly reaching. If you're in a close relationship with God, you are praying every night, you're reading your Bible every day, you're in close proximity with the Holy Spirit, or if you are far from God tonight, guess what? Whether you're on one end of the pendulum or the other, his love is still reaching out to you this very moment, no matter where you are or what you've done or who you've been in the past. Amen?
Amen.
And that love is going to consistently be reaching out to you for the rest of your life. You can't escape it. You can't run from it. It will always be there because our God never leaves us or forsakes us. Amen? The Bible says that God, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are profound and they're deeper than our thoughts. And tonight, I hope we can understand this profound truth. God chooses us, you, to be the tangible way he reaches with love in a world that needs him desperately. I don't understand why he chooses us. I know who I am, and I'm not worthy. Yeah. But for some reason, God gives me the not just the ability, but the demand, the commission to go into all the world, to reach with his love. The primary way that your friends are going to know the love of Jesus is because of you. Yeah. He chooses you to reach with love. Real life, we are the ones that express the love of God to the world around us. You have so much more influence over your circle of friends than I do. I may be leading a student ministry, but guess what? You're a leader in your high school. God has called you to lead. Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14 says, you are the salt of the earth. You are to be salty. You're bringing flavor to the world around you. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Y'all don't get salty. I mean, you're supposed to be salty. It's supposed to be funny. Okay. It's no longer good for anything if salt loses its flavor. It should be just thrown out and trampled under somebody's foot. But guess what? God has called you to be the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's who you've been called to be. You're called to reach with the love of Jesus. Romans 2:4 teaches us, and this is such a profound and beautifully articulated scripture. It says that it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Yeah. It is God's kindness. I don't know about you, but that's what led me to the Lord, is kindness. It's not harshness. Jesus did his part to reach this world with his love and express in the ultimate act of love, surrendering his life. The scripture says there is no greater love that can be expressed than if a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he surrendered his life on a cross, and now he empowers you, he empowers me to be the hands and feet of love to a world that's in need. How many know the world needs Jesus? Man, the world needs, it's such a hateful place, and it needs love to shine brightly. Amen? Tomorrow is going to be a wake-up call. Because you had a summer distant from the pain. You had a summer distant from the negativity. You had a summer that was void of the pressure. But tomorrow is a wake-up call. And tomorrow it's your turn to be the salt and light of this world. Yeah. To love when no one else is. Jubilee and I were talking the other day, and we realized that for the past few months, literally, as a student ministry, we have been experiencing our best life. Come on now. Yeah, we're living our best life, real life. We are. This is your best life. Last fall, for example, we had the best fall retreat in real life history. At District Fine Arts, we had the best showing, winning multiple merit awards. This past summer, we had the best camp experience as we walked away camp champs. Hallelujah, I never thought it would happen, Jesus, but you made a way where there seemed to be no way. Let's just say last week we had a superior week in Orlando. 12 out of 12 performances received a superior score, with multiple top 10 performances in the nation. Because we have the best, most talented students on the face of this planet. In a few short days, CLC will have the best enrollment ever, with over 50 students serving and growing in the best ministry school in the state of Georgia. We're living our best life, real life. And guess what? It's only getting started. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be the best year. We've been living our best life, and as we start a new chapter in our lives, as we begin this new semester as a student ministry, I believe it is imperative that we do our best to reach the world around us with the love of Jesus. Yes. I see a lot of seats that need to be filled. Yes. I see some room in this place where we can grow. I see some of your best friends coming to the Lord. The ones you don't expect to love Jesus are going to love Jesus this semester. Some of your family members that are far from God are going to come back to God like the prodigal son. And God, as their heavenly father, is going to look from a distance and run and just wrap his arms around them because of the love that you display to them. It's time to love better than we've ever loved before, real life. It's a responsibility, and it's important. Amen. The world does not need more judgmental Christians. The world needs more believers who genuinely love others. The Bible says it's out of our love for one another that people will know we're His disciples. Our love for others should change the environment in our culture. Our love for one another should change. I was so happy. One time we walked into a room at Nationals, and one of the judges looked back and he said, "Can I just meet you for a second? Because every time your group walks into a room, they change the environment." They were impressed because we love one another and we hype one another up and we live for one another. We believe in one another so strongly, and it changes the atmosphere anywhere we go. I was so proud of that. We're called to love others so well, so passionately, so effectively that it changes our culture. I read an interesting story the other week, and it's going to be weird. Just hang with me for a second. Basically, it was a study that soldiers in Vietnam, y'all remember Vietnam? No, you don't, because it was back in the day. Okay, soldiers in the Vietnam War were becoming highly addicted to what's called heroin. You've heard of heroin. Maybe not Vietnam, but you've heard of drugs. So, anyways, I'm not talking about drugs tonight, but studies showed that 60% of the soldiers that were at war in Vietnam were abusing and becoming highly addicted to heroin. It was a high statistic. And their experience as soldiers, they experienced some of the same emotions that you're going to face walking back into your schools tomorrow. The men and women that were hundreds of miles away from home were in one of the most stressful environments possible. Tomorrow's going to be stressful for some of you. They were in fear of death constantly. Some of y'all think if you make one wrong move, you're dying. I know it's not real. That's just the devil messing with your mind. But some of you are going to be fearful when you walk into the school. The country they were in had such easy access to this addictive drug that they could keep the edge off of all the nerves in the war that was surrounding them. There is going to be easy access to things when you walk onto your school's campus. And so they were exposed. And the platoons and the squadrons and the people that they lived with and survived with, they had one another's back. They were experiencing a high level of peer pressure because they were saving one another's lives, but then also because my boy is doing some heroin to take the edge off, I'm going to do it too. Because everybody's doing it. You're going to experience walking onto your campus a pressure to conform. Yeah. When the Bible clearly says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is the washing of the word. You got to be in your Bible this year. See, they were on top of all of that. They were so far from home, without accountability, without a support system from family and loved ones. It was an environment that created a trap of addiction in their lives. And I'm hoping this example helps us realize tonight that the environment we set and the environment we choose to live in can determine the amount of freedom we're going to experience this semester. The environment, the tone that you set, you should be environment setters. You should not be thermometers. You should be thermostats. You shouldn't just walk into a room and gauge what's happening. You should be walking into a room and changing what's happening. God has called you to be thermostats, not thermometers. See, heroin is one of the most dangerously addictive drugs. Almost 90% of Americans who become entrapped in using it go back to the drug even after going through rehabilitation. 90%. It's only a 10% success rate. But that is not what happened with the soldiers at Vietnam. This is crazy. I mean, as Forrest Gump. He really went to Vietnam. This is what happened through Vietnam. Psychologists were floored because they realized that when our soldiers would come home from Vietnam, they would come out of the drug abuse cold turkey. They would just come clean quick, right away. I'm never doing it again. And about 10%, just 10% would go back. That was a 90% success rate of never using one of the most addicting drugs on the planet. Here's what they realized in the study. They realized that as soon as the soldiers stepped foot back on American soil, their environment completely changed. because their environment completely changed, they were able to experience freedom.
Yeah.
Real Life, hear your pastor tonight. We become a product of our environment.
Yes.
You will become a product of your environment. The 90% success rate of soldiers kicking a habit that statistically never gets kicked cold turkey is because they completely changed the environment they were living in. The right environment can set the tone for freedom, and you are called to be free. You're called to set the environment and reach people with the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Sure. That, you know, what if I told you? What do you mean? Right? This is funny. Real Life, I believe with all my heart tonight, God is calling us to reach the world around us with the love of Jesus so deeply that it changes the environment that we live in. It changes everything. God has called this ministry to be a culture-changing ministry that changes the world. I believe it with all my heart. We should be reaching with the love of Jesus so passionately that it changes the environment of our homes. It should change the environment of our social life. It should change the environment of your social media. I'm trifling now. It should change the environment of your romance. It should change the environment on your athletic teams. It should change the environment of your school campuses. It should change the environment of your grade point average. Come on, somebody. Us reaching with love should change the environment of the entire Chattahoochee Valley. What do you mean, Pastor? What does it mean scripturally to be reached with the love of Jesus? What does it look like to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that is broken by sin? If you've got your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke shows us a clear picture of what it looks like to reach others with the love of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, if you'll turn with me, it's on the screen if you don't have a Bible. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, and people had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. The power of God was with Jesus to heal the sick. And some men came, and they did something incredible. They brought their paralyzed friend that was on a mat, and they tried to take him to the house and lay him before Jesus. But here's what happened. When they could not find a way to do this, it was because of the crowd. They went up on the roof, and they didn't take no for an answer. They went up on the roof, and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. They interrupted everything. When Jesus saw their faith, this is very important, it was plural, their faith, Jesus said to the man, friend, your sins are forgiven. What a powerful expression of reaching with the love of Jesus. See, this man was paralyzed. He couldn't move himself. How many have friends that you see them in a situation right now that they can't move themselves? He needed someone to love him enough in order that his life could be transformed. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed somebody to step in to my life. I needed my best friend. I'll never forget the moment my best friend looked at me eye to eye, man to man, and he looked at me and said, Jonathan, you've known about this gospel your entire life. Why don't you start living it? And it shook me to the core of who I am. And it changed me from that moment on. I needed to be reached with the love of Jesus. And I needed someone to carry me to Jesus. I needed someone to do that. Because someone did that for me, I've never been the same. And from that moment on, I wanted to carry as many people as I can to the feet of Jesus. That's my story. These men carried the one who was paralyzed to Jesus. There were obstacles, sure, in the way. Yeah, there's challenges to reaching with love. Sometimes you will be persecuted for loving people. There's challenges and obstacles. They were a minority in a crowd of people. Sometimes the crowd will try to drown your love out.
Yeah.
Sometimes the crowd will be too thick that you think you can't ever get through it. But guess what? These men changed the atmosphere of the room. Just a few, I imagine it never says a number, but I guess that a man laying on a mat is probably pretty heavy, and it probably took at least four guys. And so four men probably changed the entire atmosphere in that place.
Yeah.
Man, they believed in Jesus. These men believed in Jesus so much that they had a conviction to help others believe. I remember when Jubilee got saved, she bowed, I was able to witness her bow her knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. She was delivered, set free, and she made a promise to God, I'm never going back. And she was in a single parent home with just her mom and her brother. And I'll never forget how her mom, Jubilee, convinced her mom to buy the biggest minivan she could. They didn't need a minivan, but Jubilee said, Mom, we need a van because I'm taking all my friends to school. Yeah. She fell so madly in love with Jesus that she said, this love can't just be for me. It's got to be for everyone that I know. And she began to shuttle people to church week after week. New friends would come in that van. People were getting saved over and over and over. Not the same people, but many friends were getting saved. You know what I'm trying to say. She became a movement because God had moved her. What would happen if all of us fell so madly in love with Jesus that we couldn't keep it to ourselves? The scripture says that Jesus saw their faith, and said, your sins are forgiven. Their faith unlocked the forgiving grace of Jesus. And this helps us to understand tonight, people who have been truly impacted by the love of Jesus will do whatever it takes to reach others with that love. People who have really had an encounter with the Most High, someone who has really been transformed, somebody who's really been forgiven, can't keep it to themselves. Real life tonight, as we are about to start a new semester, you need to understand the crowd will try to prevent us and discourage us from trying to make a difference. The enemy of our soul wants us to grow weary in doing good. The pressure of the environment at our school is going to try to prevent you from reaching your friends with a genuine love that can change their lives. But you can't let anything stop you. These men who brought the man on his mat could have given up, but they didn't, real life. They didn't take no for an answer. Please hear your pastor. What this world desperately needs is more young men and women who refuse to allow difficulty to stop them from reaching people with the love of Jesus. That's good enough to say amen. Amen. God needs us to be his hands and feet to our friends. I think this story shows us that there's two types of people that need to be reached with the love of Jesus. The first type of person in the story is some of us stay paralyzed in our lack of a relationship with Jesus because we're comfortable. Some of us stay in our relationship with Jesus in a lack of relationship because we're comfortable. Some of us don't even realize the very thing that brings us comfort is actually paralyzing us spiritually. Scripture tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season. If life is good and something is consuming our lives in a way that keeps us feeling good, then we don't even realize we need to be healed, right? Comfort can kill. Yeah. It really, you know, one does not simply move. I mean, this bed's kind of, it feels good. I kind of like this. I mean, when we're comfortable, let's give some examples. When you're in that relationship, and the lover of your body keeps all of your attention so that you forget the lover of your soul. How about that? Maybe some of the things that you're presenting in front of yourself, man, that music just hits, man. Can somebody just be a witness? I'm so frustrated with Christian radio because it's so dull. Man, the most anointed music should be Christian. But there's an anointing, let me just warn you, there's an anointing that gets comfortable. There's an anointing that causes us to be comfortable in the music that we listen to. And we say, man, that hit, man, I'm flowing to that beat. I can vibe to that, right? And you may not believe in the lyrics. You may say, man, I'm not listening to the lyrics, but it is getting in your soul. And it's bringing a comfort to where, oh, wait, you know what? What you accept, you endorse. And you begin to endorse, oh man, this is hitting hard, so I like this. And then the next thing you know, you're talking like the things you listen to. Because you got comfortable and you're not moving forward in your relationship with Jesus. Oh, maybe, some of y'all don't even realize, I can see sometimes what you're watching. And God, through his Holy Spirit, some of y'all leave things on the computer, like your logins, and I could see some history of what you've been watching, and you think to yourself, man, it's okay, I can just watch it. It's funny, right? It's hilarious. It makes me laugh. But what you don't realize is when you watch things that you shouldn't be seeing, and you taint the eyes or the window of your soul, and you begin to view things that release what's called dopamine. And dopamine is a chemical in your body that God has created for pleasure. And you see something that releases, and it's ungodly, it's unwholesome. It's what you are to abstain from: sexual immorality. Flee from even the appearance of evil. But we look at it, and dopamine begins to be released. And that chemical reaction makes us comfortable. Ooh, that feels good. Ooh, it's like this, just that spot is comfy right there. And you get comfortable, and it changes who you are, and it causes you to get so comfortable that you forget your relationship with the Lord. You get so comfortable in a counterfeit from the Holy Spirit, you don't even know what the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like anymore. We can't get comfortable. Some of our friends are so comfortable, they don't even know it. They don't even realize that they're far from God. Amen? I'm going to invite the band to come as I close. That was really awkward. I hope you never forget that.
Yeah.
That's why I did it. Many of our friends don't even realize. And here's the tragedy. Listen to this. The church, Real Life Student Ministries, Christians in general. Guys, we are not exposing comfortable people to the love of Jesus, so they don't even know that they're paralyzed spiritually.
Yeah, say that.
We're not reaching with love, so they don't even realize they're paralyzed. If we don't offer the world around us something different than what they already have, why would they want to change?
Yeah.
If we look the same as everyone else, why would they want to act like us? Why would they want to be like us? Why would they embrace, well, there's something different there if we're the same? I think this story shows us that the second type of person that needs to be reached with the love of Jesus is this. The second person is, some of us have been so crippled by life, we don't have the ability to move forward without someone else's help. Can I just tell you, it's okay to get help? Jesus said, it's good that I leave, because there's another coming. And he's going to be your helper. He's going to support you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to comfort you and lift your spirit. He's going to give you power, because you can't do it yourself. Every single one of us need to be reached by the love of Jesus. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us in this room have more difficulties in this life than others trying to stop us from experiencing the love of God. I realize that. But if we're not careful, we will allow the disabilities and the mistakes and the imperfections of our life to make us believe that it's impossible that God truly loves us. It'll make us feel... The enemy will remind you of your past, so it will destroy your future. It'll make you believe that, man, I've done so much, I can't move forward. I can't move. I'm crippled. See, the story finishes, and it says in verse 21, it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this guy who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus knew that what they were thinking, because he's savage. He's the boss. He knows everything. And he said, why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk?
Yeah.
What's easier? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the power and the authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And immediately in that moment, he stood up in front of them, and he took what he had been lying on, and he went praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, because they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. You want to know what's going to start revival here at Real Life Student Ministries? Is when your best friend that is far from God bows their knee to Jesus and transforms their life and becomes a totally different person because of your witness, because of your love, because of your friendship and relationship. That's what people are going to say, man, I knew that guy. I knew who they were before, and I see who they are now. And so I'm going to go there, because something's happening. Something's different. See, tonight, I believe God wants to do remarkable things again. And I believe Jesus asked the man to pick up his mat and walk, because when we are reached with the love of Jesus, our mess becomes our message. Yeah. What once kept you down becomes the very message that you can use to reach others for Christ. See, the word says that it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that our friends can be saved, that freedom is held. So I want to invite you to your feet right now. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're about to do in this place. God, thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for a fresh start this semester. God, I thank you that who we were last year doesn't matter. Who we're about to be is what matters. God, you're going to use us in a significant way with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one in this room looking around or being a distraction. Maybe you're here tonight and you got caught up in the pressure. You got caught up in sin so much that you didn't even realize you've been breaking the heart of God with your lifestyle. Hear me tonight. Jesus still loves you. Jesus still loves you no matter what you've done. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus, right now in this moment, even though you got comfortable to the point where you forgot about him, even though you got so comfortable that you turned your back on him, even though you got so comfortable that it caused him to stretch out his hands on Calvary's cross and say, Father, forgive them. They don't even realize what they're doing. Even though there's things that have caused you to become paralyzed and numb to the Holy Spirit, and you're feeling the Holy Spirit and you're feeling the love of God tonight drawing you in, God loves you no matter what your past holds. And so tonight, if you'd say, Pastor, if you'd be bold and honest with me tonight, you'd say, I'm like the man that was on the mat. I'm crippled. I'm spiritually crippled. I haven't got a good relationship with the Lord right now, and I need to be forgiven. Man, the sin is so heavy on my shoulders. The guilt and the shame is so heavy on my back. I can't even move. And tonight I want that to change. If that's you all across this room, with every head bowed, every eye closed, the love of Jesus can save you tonight. The love of Jesus can set you free. The love of Jesus can forgive you. It's a free gift of grace. You don't have to earn it. He paid for your price on Calvary's cross. So if you want to give your heart to Jesus and say, Pastor, I want to get up and walk tonight. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to start my semester brand new tonight because of the love of Jesus. On the count of three, lift up your hands so I can pray for you. 1, 2, 3. Right now, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't miss this moment. If you need God to forgive you, the grace is sufficient for your every need. You're going to sleep good tonight if you give your heart to Jesus. Thank you so much. All across this room, let's give them a round of applause. I'm going to pray. All across this room, say it loudly and say it proudly as one happy family. Dear Jesus, I thank you for coming and dying on Calvary's cross for my sin. God, I'm so sorry that I turned my back on you. I'm so sorry for getting comfortable with things that I should have never accepted. God, I repent. I turn my life towards you. I give my heart to you. Forgive me. Set me free. Love me. And tonight, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.